Surrender to somebody. I surrender to the King. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you, musicians. Nice to be back together again. You may be seated. A couple of quick announcements before we get into the Word here this morning. We also have a baby dedication, so big smile. So we have a visiting minister coming on the weekend of July 3rd, and he'll be with us July 3rd and July 10th as well. And we're planning on having a youth service on probably the 9th, which would be the Saturday. And so I realize that it's the month of July. People like to leave Tucson, Arizona in particular, Arizona in general, and then come back when the blacktop solidifies. But the brother was supposed to be with us in February, and he was having trouble getting his appointment for his visa. And of course, right after our meetings concluded, then he got his visa. So we said, okay, well, we'll just reschedule. So he'll be with us in July, and so we're looking forward to that. Also, I want to thank you for your prayers for my sister Brenda. Her heart specialist told her that she had an 80% blockage in her heart, and so they went in and did a angiogram. So we asked for prayer, and you all joined us together in prayer. She went in, they did the angiogram, and there's no heart blockage. So. Our God is God. Our God is a song was sung. Our God is tremendous. Amen. Amen. And then this has been mentioned already. We want to keep people, our brothers and sisters in prayer that are traveling. Some are enjoying the nice cool weather up north right now. I'm up on a roof, not enjoying myself, thinking about those enjoying the nice weather, but it's motivating me to want to get this. I'm not a roofer, but I will be by the time this is done. And we'll retire from it, Lord willing. And then tomorrow being Memorial Day, for those that don't know, it's memorializing. We have several holidays that have to do with armed services, and a lot of times it's confusing which one is for which. And so Memorial Day is honoring those that have given their lives in service for our nation. And so we certainly, it's a worthy memorial, but we've got a great captain that gave his life for all of us. Amen. And he rose from the dead, and we certainly, that's a time-honored memorial, and we want to just keep that before us each and every day. And of course, as we're commemorating, I don't know about your families, but my family has, many of them have served through the generations in the military, and several have given their lives for their country. And so it's something that that's dear to our hearts, but we want to not forget the greatest memorial that we still memorialize today. Amen. So we'd like to invite the Howards to come up, and it'd be just our honor to commit this young life to the Lord. We recognize that the child will make a choice later on in life, but we're wanting to commit this life. The life came from the Lord. We want to commit this life back into the hands of the Lord. Amen. So if you would like to come up. Goodness. So tiny.
Should move the house this way.
okay, Pastor, be careful. Oh, my, beautiful, beautiful baby. They all are, but what a gift from God. Congratulations. I'm sure that you're, oh, it's opening your eyes. I'm sure that your hearts are burning, that you're excited, and lots of change in your lives, but this is an addition, and we thank the Lord for this life, and for you, of course. And since this life came from the Lord, we want to commit this life back to the Lord, and know that that's the safest place to for this life to be. And so with that, let's go to prayer. Father, we thank you so much for our brother and sister Howard, and we thank you for this life that you've committed into their hands, Lord, and they've committed their lives to you, Lord, and you are their provider, their savior, their deliverer, their guide, their all in all. And so, Lord, we recognize that they've sold out to you, Lord. They've committed themselves into your hands, and now you've blessed them with this new life, little Remy, Ivan. And so, Father, as we stand here with this baby in our arms this morning, we know that if you were here, if you were here in flesh, you would do the very same thing. You said, "Suffer the little ones to come unto me." And Father, their desire is to commit this life back into your hands. And with that comes the expectation, Lord, that you're going to provide for this child, that you're going to keep a hedge about this little boy and keep him from the strikes of the enemy, that your angels would encamp about him. And Lord, that he would be raised up in the way that he should go. And there's a promise that has been given to all of us that if we do train them up in the way they should go, that when they're old, they won't depart from it. And so, Lord, they're committing this life into your hands, Lord, for not only the spiritual needs, but the physical needs, emotional needs, for all of it, Lord. And if you would tarry, Lord, may this little man, may he be the next generation to carry the standard, Lord, to carry forth the truth in the next generation, to stand on this earth for your word. We love you and we thank you, Lord, and we ask that you would just bless mom and dad, Lord, that you give them wisdom, that you give them the guidance that we as parents, all of us, need from you. And we know that you're the author and giver of not only life, but of wisdom and of all good things. And Lord, may they be comforted and at rest, knowing that they've committed this life into your hands, and you are going to provide and watch over. And Lord, may this family unit be brought closer together, Lord, to you and to one another, and may it, this three-stranded cord be bound together in love, Lord. It's not easily broken. And Father, we will surely give you all praise and honor and glory. We love you and we thank you now. And we thank you for the families that are represented here this morning as well, Lord, and for their support and their love. And Lord, may it just be a blessing to all of them, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, that was nice. Can I hold him for a little while longer? Until he's 18? God bless you. Well, praise the Lord. If you would stand this morning, I'd like to read from the Word. I'd like to read from Numbers, the 16th chapter, and the first four verses. Numbers chapter 16, starting at the first verse. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the son of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together. So there's lots of gatherings that are taking place. And we're told at the harvest time that there would be gatherings that would take place. There's bindings and there's gatherings. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, "You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore, or why, then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord?" And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. I'd like to read from the message, The Unconditional Covenant That God Made With His People. Paragraph 31, Brother Brown says, "Now notice, when God calls a man, now look, not because he was better than somebody else, but because God called him. Now this is for Christians. Notice. Then after God called him," he's speaking of Abraham, "he said, 'The first thing I want you to do is separate yourself.' That's what God does today. Separation. So separation is God's idea. It's not a bad thing. Even when we get married, we separate from father and mother, and we separate, and then we unite. So but in order for there to be a uniting, there has to first be a separation. Most all the churches, when they're calling their new pastor over in the Baptist church, we used to see that. The people would say, 'Oh, that old preacher, he's an old fogey. He tries to tell us this. We want a young fella who's a good mixer.' God don't want mixers. God wants separators. Separate yourself." That's right. God always calls for separation. Said, "Separate yourself from your kindreds, from your peoples. Separate yourself from your associates. Separate from your habits. Separate everything and come out and stand alone for God." Amen. That's where the first man was called by election. And that's where the last man's been called to do the same thing. Separate yourself from your associates, the things of the world. Come out from among them. Be ye separate. He said, "Then I'll bless you. If you want a blessing, separate yourself from the things of the world." The word separate, it means to set or keep apart, to disconnect, to sever, to set aside for a special purpose, to choose, to dedicate, to isolate from a mixture, or to extract, to become divided or detached, to sever an association, to withdraw, to go in different directions, to be dissimilar in nature or identity. I like that last one the best. To be dissimilar in nature or identity. So you pull away from what you are dissimilar with so you can unite with what you are similar with. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we gather together on this fine resurrection morning, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, for all that you've done for us or doing for us, for just the opportunity to come together to speak about you, to hear your word, to hear the songs of praise. We thank you for the specials, Lord. We thank you for the new life that's come forth. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be a voice in this last day here on the earth, each and every one, whether we speak words or not. A life lived is speaking. It's a voice. It's speaking out in this last generation. And Lord, we want it to ring out and speak of Christ the Word. We want it to speak of not of ourselves, not of the world, but of your goodness, your mercy, of your soon coming, of the grace of God that's been extended to mankind. And Lord, we just want it. We're looking for your soon coming, but in the process, Lord, we want to see that we make that announcement clear in whatever corner that you place us, Lord, that we be a shining light that's proclaiming your soon coming and your goodness and your mercy. Bless each and every one, Lord. Heal those that are in need of healing, Lord. Deliver those that need deliverance, and Lord, provide for the needs, Lord, that you said that we have but to ask, and so we want to do that. We want to ask, and Lord, it'll be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Bless each and every one. Bless all of our visitors this morning, Lord. Those that are here, those that are not able to make it, Lord, that might be streaming this morning. We ask that your blessings would be with them as well. We love you and we thank you now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So I want to title the thought here for a few minutes this morning, Separate Yourself Unto the Word. Separate yourself unto the Word. So the setting in our text this morning, of course, is the children of Israel on a great exodus or a separation from Egypt. They're being a nation is being called out from a nation, and they're traveling to the land that was promised to their forefathers some 400 plus years ago. God had raised up a mighty prophet by the name of Moses and vindicated to the people and to Egypt that he was with him. And Moses went before the great Pharaoh of Egypt. He went with the word of the Lord and with nothing more than a stick in his hand. And he commanded Pharaoh to let the Hebrew people go so that they could travel to their own homeland. And we know the story of how Pharaoh would agree to this, and then God would harden his heart, and then a plague would fall upon Egypt because they were not letting the children of Israel go. And this continued on until the very last plague fell, which resulted in the death of the firstborn of man or animal of each household. And Pharaoh finally told Moses, take them and go. And later, we find the Hebrew people backed up against the Red Sea with the armies of Pharaoh hot on their heels. And God once again proved that he was their leader. He proved that he was their deliverer by opening the Red Sea and causing an east wind to dry the ground so that the people could cross over and so that they could escape from this mighty army. And then the very same one who opened the waters caused the waters to come back together again and close upon the pursuing armies and swallow them up. That's the God we serve this morning. God was separating a people from a people. God had done so much for the children of Abraham that you would think, friends, that people would all be sold out to the message and to Moses, their messenger. There shouldn't have been a doubt anywhere in the camp that this was the move of God. Even the world could see that something different was going on. And yet we find that the people were murmuring and they were complaining when after only 11 days they had come to a place called Kadesh and spies were chosen and sent out, men of renown from each of the tribes to go spend 40 days spying out the land and to bring back a report. And the people were fearful when they heard the evil report that was given by 10 of the 12 spies that looked over the land. But two rose up with a different spirit and rose up with a different report, a separate report. And they said, it's just like Moses said, just as the word of the Lord declared. These two declared the land is a good land. And we should take it at once. We should take it in haste. We are more than able to take the land. Not just able, but able with excess. We're more than able to take the land right now. Not later, right now. And so we should go there at once and possess it. So they had brought back more than theology and more than a PowerPoint presentation, more than secondhand news or hearsay. They brought back evidence, friends, that the land was good. They tasted of the land. They partook of the fruits. And they brought back, they looked at one another and said, you know what, I don't know if people are going to believe us, but I'm not coming back with a word-only testimony. I'm bringing back some power and demonstration. I'm bringing back some evidence that it's just as this message declared. No one had ever had grapes and figs and pomegranates like these before. Oh, certainly they'd had these things, but these were like state fair mutant, you know, a cluster of grapes between the two of them and took two of them with a stick to carry that cluster of grapes. So this group of people, we understand, was descended from Father Abraham, who had left everything and almost everyone he knew behind to go on a faith journey with the Lord to this very same land. And he was shown the land and he was told that his seed would possess it and that he himself would be the father of many nations. And he was shown what his inheritance would be and what the inheritance of others would be. And God mightily vindicated his presence with Abraham. And Abraham was a blessed man, and the people knew it. God proved his word to Abraham and to all the other nations that Abraham came into contact with along the way. So this wasn't done in some backwaters, dark corner somewhere. God was doing it right out in the open. And now, after some 480 years or so, God is taking Abraham's seed into this promised land. And in the process, God is vindicating to the rest of the world in that region that he is God. Our God is tremendous. And that his word is true. That he is a mighty savior. That he is a mighty deliverer. That he is a mighty healer. That he is a mighty provider. That he's a mighty conqueror. That he can keep his word. He is a general, a mighty general. And so, friends, when we look at what God did for his family, how could anybody question God from this point forward? I mean, in my mind, it was over-vindicated. And of course, in our day, it's more than over-vindicated. How could anybody question his message or his messenger? How could anybody doubt that he would finish what he started? Why would anybody start looking at the stars for further signs or the phases of the moon? Or why would anybody leave this move of God to chart their own course to the promised land? Why would anybody question the leadership of God that placed them under this ministry and begin to listen to others besides their messenger? In our story this morning, we find a guy by the name of Korah, a guy by the name of Dathan, and a guy by the name of Abiram rising up in the move of God and starting a rebellion. Now, friends, we never heard about these guys before when Pharaoh had the people in bondage and when Pharaoh withstood the messenger and was defeated at every turn. We never heard these other voices. These guys didn't cause water to flow from a rock. These guys didn't cause the sea to turn red, the waters to turn red. These guys didn't cause angel bread to fall from heaven. These guys didn't cause the quail to fall from the sky when people were hungry. These guys didn't stand in the gap for the people when God was going to destroy them for murmuring against the message and the messenger for the 10th time. God never spoke to these men, and God never put them in charge of the Exodus. These men were told, they were not told to form a serpent out of brass and put it on a pole and put it before the people and tell the people, look upon this when you're bitten by a snake. In other words, they had no cure to offer for sin. And yet here they are in the move of God among the followers of the message, on their way to the same land of the promise, claiming to be following the same message. And they rise up and they manage to find 250 prominent leaders in their ranks to listen to their version of the message. Now, keep in mind, friends, that that's still only 253 out of 2 million. So that's a pretty small percentage of the entire group of message believers. And they stand against Moses and they stand against Aaron and they start making some false claims. They say, you take too much upon yourself. Lie. Seeing that the whole congregation is holy. Lie. You lift yourself up over the congregation. Lie. And they manage to influence the majority of the people initially. These are leaders. And when Moses heard this, he fell upon his face. After all the heavy lifting is done, it boggles my mind. And they are now nearing the crossing over into the land. Now these guys want to lead the move of God. Where is their vindication? What is their motive? They start by telling lies about the leaders. And also about the people. And they managed to find 250 men of influence from among the people to sympathize with their rebellion. Remember, rebellion started in heaven. And it's being played out here on the earth as well. They, no doubt, friends, started telling them things that had nothing to do with the message. Joshua and Caleb had already witnessed that the land is good, and as we mentioned before, brought back evidence. And they are on their way to find it, and they just need to continue following the message that was given to them and to stay under their messenger. These leaders are also defying those that will continue to be used by God to take the people into the land after Moses passes off the scene. Dathan, Korah, Abiram, and these other 250, they aren't just defying Moses and Aaron. They first start by trying to discredit the messenger and his mouthpiece, but they also withstand the other leaders of the movement that are under their messenger, whom God is also with. Moses falls on his face. He's so tore up. He's not saying, "God, send the fire down." The Spirit of Christ is upon him, and he's foreshadowing what Christ will do, standing in the gap. So Moses falls on his face. He's torn up because he cares about their souls. And he knows that they're crossing a line here. The influence of these men is no small thing, friends. The majority of the people have fallen under this influence at this time, but God and Moses know that the leaders are really the ones to blame. There are good people in this movement that are under the influence of these corrupt men. And we will see what they do next as a test. Numbers 16, verse 17. "And take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also, and Aaron, each of you, his censer." So notice, friends, these men are not wanting to be prophets, but they're wanting to be ministers. But God did not call them. They didn't want Moses' place, but they wanted Aaron's place. And we will see that. They have a place that's already been given to them by the grace of God, but they want to move into a position that's not given to them. And they are now challenging Aaron's position. Verse 18. "And they took every man his censer and put fire in them and laid incense thereon and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and with Aaron." Wow. No fear to go where Aaron alone was called to go. In the presence of Jehovah. Friends, people can get so used to running down the move and so used to running down leaders and the move that they're involved in that they become calloused after a while. There's no conviction after a while. Now, they wouldn't have tried this earlier, but sin has hardened their hearts. And they know the perfect will of the Lord. But when they see this opportunity to step into the permissive will, they jump at it. And they know better than to do this. But sin has hardened their hearts and seared their consciences. They are bold and they are confident, standing against Moses and Aaron. No fear to dispute with the prophet. No fear to dispute with the ministry under him. But God is going to teach the sincere followers through this episode, friends, that's unfolding. And it will be difficult on the people, of course, but God is still God. And this is laid out here in a shadow so that we would recognize it when it in each age, in most importantly in our age, when we're faced with the same things. So they take the incense, and the burning of incense is a type of prayers being offered up before the Lord. They take the incense and put fire on it. Now remember, friends, the fire that they partake from came directly from the pillar of fire. It isn't man-made fire. It isn't man-constructed. They're not out there with a piece of flint and a piece of steel and trying to get something to go. It's not man-made. It's genuine fire. It's a fire that was lit by God himself that is to be fed by the ministry and to be kept burning, to keep going. And these brazen men, they come right up to this holy fire with no fear. His presence is vindicated among them. You would think that there would be some fear, some godly fear. And the incense that they take a hold of, it's not something for the general congregation to touch either. It is also holy. So there's no shame, there's no fear. It's brazen rebellion. They walk right up there, they grab the holy incense, they grab the holy fire, and they say, "All right, we'll show you that we are men of God also." These same spirits are on the earth this morning. God takes a man, but the spirits continue on. Verse 19. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, imagine that. You know that the pillar of fire is coming down. You've seen the vindication. You have no vindication like this in your life. And yet you'll stand before those that are vindicated. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. So the whole message movement was turning from the prophet and from the ministry, and a showdown was in the works. Friends, I'm amazed at how quickly and how easily people will turn to follow other leaders of men. We are created to be led, so that part is not a mystery. But to switch sides and switch allegiances, just, you know, after going one direction for most of your life, and then something that somebody says, you spend a little time around them, and all of a sudden they're turned, going a different direction. These men had no supernatural vindication. And they had no message that was given to them by God. All they had was, here's what they think. They benefited, just like everybody else, from the move of God up to this moment in time. Where were they when all these great challenges were being made previously? You know, kind of like putting this message on trial now. Where were you at when a court trial was preached? Where were you at when this generation was being indicted? Where were you at when he said, "Take your Bible and come stand over here by my right side and show me where I'm wrong"? He said they didn't do it. He said they were smarter than he thought they were. They had a little more intelligence. But wait until everybody's off the scene. And now you're a genius. Now you got proof. You weren't even there. They had no message that was given to them by God. And they had followed the message and the messenger up until this point. And then the people listened to them over the vindicated messenger, over the message, and over the ministry. Why did these guys... This is a thing, you know, I just, you know... It's just the way I think, I guess. I've always wondered, okay, you don't like this. Go find something you like and do that. But leave this alone. Why do you have to tamper with this? Okay, it's not for you. Go find something that is for you. But leave this. It reminds me of the story that I heard one time about God and Satan in a challenge. And God challenges Satan to create. God does his creation first, and then he looks over to Satan. He says, "All right, now you do it." Satan gets ready to try to do it, and he says, "Oh, wait, hold on. Use your own dirt. Create your own universe. Leave mine alone." He can't create. All he can do is pervert. So why didn't these guys just go set up their own tabernacle? Why didn't they get their own holy fire? as if they could. Outside of the move of God. Listen, friends, rebellion always comes from within the move of God. It started in church in heaven. And a third of the angels fell. It continued in the garden. And it continues to this day. So these leaders, they didn't rise. It wasn't the Pope or Confucius or Confusion. Might have been Confusion, but it was within the ranks of the message. They didn't rise from outside of the movement, but from within it. And all they had was persuasive words. And much of their words were lies. But when people are complaining, and when people are fussing, they want a man like this. They want a man who will voice how they feel. That's what the news is doing today. It ain't news. Don't listen to it. It's garbage. This flesh of ours is not happy. This flesh is being dragged to a body change. Even though it will be better off in the body change, it's going kicking and screaming. Our flesh is constantly looking for a sympathizer, for a champion to speak for it. Oh, woe is me. Poor me. Nobody's got it as bad as me. Oh, you went to hell and died for everybody's sins. You died. You were hung between heaven and hell. You died the worst death. And, oh, no, that's not you. Our flesh has so many complaints. Well, mine does. Yours is just fine. When I was up there on the roof, why is it so hot? Who is it that delivered our flesh, friends, from the evils and the bondage of Egypt, from this world? Who brought us out from the slavery of sin? Verse 19. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. Moses, Aaron, God, versus 253 men that are influencing 2 million people. Friends, a desire for a position influences many men. And it ruins what they could have done for God if they'd have just stayed in their God-given place. Lucifer had the highest position that he could have ever desired until he desired another position and stepped out of it. So it wasn't enough for them. They were too big in their own eyes. In their own eyes, they were being held back. They were being deprived. But I want you to notice, friends, that others were being used of God. And actually, so were these men before they tried to force themselves into another position. Lucifer was the covering angel. If you wanted to approach God, you had to come through him. He was one of the protectors of the word. It takes a man of great character to survive a great position. And to have that great character means you're going to live a life of great trials. Very few can handle it. But look how infectious a rebellious spirit can get to be. You know, we're living out here in the Wild West. Arizona is the last state in the lower 48 to join the union. And I remember when I first moved here, the very first week, you know, I'm reading in the paper about somebody up in Phoenix. They came up to a stoplight and somebody brazenly walked up to their vehicle and pulled out their gun and said, you know, I want you to get out. I'm taking your car, right? And the person inside the car pulled out their gun and shot him. Welcome to the Wild West. A rebellious spirit can be so infectious. No matter how things go, There will always be gripers and complainers. Hey, friends, I've been there. I have to guard from it because we're living in a law of contrast. I had built myself up such a complex that at one point in time that I thought nobody had it as bad as me. And you'll want to nurse that thing and get some kind of comfort out of it sometimes. But then the Lord gently reminds you that, you were going to hell, but you're not going now. Right? You deserve death, but you're not getting it. Right? Here we are complaining, well, I'm not getting what I deserve. You're right. Rejoice. So no matter how things go, there will always be gripers. There will always be complainers. Things will never be good enough. It was worse than the flu in this movement. When they assembled at the door of the tabernacle, they were expressing utter defiance to the move of God and toward his two God-called men. And now the Lord speaks. Verse 20. And the Lord spake unto Moses and said unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. Our God is a consuming fire. Notice God is no longer silent. He says, separate yourself from the congregation. I'm finished with them. This is not going to continue. You know, this is not unlike Sarah laughing in the tent while Abraham believed. Sarah didn't have the faith of Abraham, but later on she received the very same faith. But before she received it, she was filled with unbelief. And she, in her heart, was thinking, how can this thing be? But friends, we will find that the power that the blood has over us today will stay the wrath of God on behalf of our ignorance and on behalf of our unbelief. Our messenger told us that there's a buffer around the world. It's a blood veil, right? And every time we sin, it comes up against that blood buffer. And we're accused and we repent and God doesn't see it. Amen. And if that buffer wasn't there this morning, we'd all be wiped out. Right. It's still an hour of grace. Yes. Do we believe that this morning? Yes. I'm so thankful for it this morning, friends. Yes. So the congregation joined the common cause of the rebellion. They didn't start it, but they joined in with it. Many ignorantly, I'm sure. So let's see how the men respond to this rebellion. Verse 22. And they fell upon their faces. And they said, oh God, the God of the spirits of all flesh. Shall one man sin? And wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? God, you made these men, in other words. Moses is praying a prayer of intercession. He's praying for God to kill, not kill those that have been influenced. And he's focusing on one man that has sinned and brought it into the congregation. Sin starts from somewhere, friends. And he's standing in the gap for the others. Friends, we have a high priest this morning who stands on our behalf. Aren't you glad? He's interceding on behalf of our ignorance. Friends, just think about the church ages. Each and every age, the message to the age was, I have someone against thee. I have someone against thee. I have someone against thee. And we had a high priest that was interceding on behalf of the ignorance of the church. Over the ages, or God would have just wiped it out. But here we are in the time when the fullness of the word is coming into a body, and God is no longer winking at the ignorance, But at the same time, there's a people on the face of the earth that are no longer filled with unbelief. I'm glad that we have this kind of an intercessor, friends.
Yes, amen.
We're not just, you know, this is the only age that's been called to, of course, everyone's called to repent. Don't get me wrong, but the message to this age is a message of repentance.
Yes.
Right? And it's every time an Elijah ministry is sent, there's a repentance that's called for first, and then a turning of a heart. We are not just repenting of our own unbelief. We're repenting of the unbelief of the last 2,000 years. The unbelief, because it's hindered the coming of the Lord. There's not a pastor in the message, friends, that hasn't faced things like this along the way. But when it comes to annihilating the people, Moses couldn't stand it. And it was the Spirit of Christ in Moses that was being portrayed. So if the Spirit of Christ is in you this morning, what is your attitude going to be? So remember that the Old Testament types are shadows of the New. So we see one man, Moses, interceding on behalf of the people. While it looks like God wants to wipe them all out. But we are seeing the attributes of one God being displayed in this drama. God is not willing that any should perish. And he has provided a way of escape. And the Spirit and the bride are saying, come. All who are thirsty, come. But God's law cannot allow unbelief to go unchallenged. And unbelief is sin. Sin must be judged. It must be dealt with. But then the very one who will judge sin then stands in the gap and displays his amazing attribute of grace. Because the judge is also the high priest. So the Spirit of Christ steps forth, but these others, they've been influenced out of ignorance. And I'm so glad this morning, friends, that we have an intercessor this morning. So Moses was worked up a few minutes ago until God said, my justice requires that sin be judged. So step aside, Moses. I'm going to wipe out all of this unbelief that's in the whole church. Moses' attitude changed right then. He went from being a little miffed and disgruntled to, oh, no, God, no, 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 no. He said, oh, God, please don't do that. He intercedes on behalf of the whole congregation. Friends, we do not rejoice in iniquity. When you hear people talk about, well, this one's doing this, that that's wrong, and that when other people are following them, you ought to be praying for them.
Yes.
You shouldn't be saying, smite them, Lord.
Amen.
All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This move of God was journeying through sanctification, separation, towards the baptism of the Holy Ghost in type, the crossing of the Jordan. And so Moses is asking the question, shall one ringleader do all this damage and you're going to kill the whole church? What are the other nations going to say? You couldn't keep him, Lord? Oh, he can keep you. See how dangerous it is this morning, friends, to join yourselves to those that rise up with vain disputations, vain questionings, which lead to further doubt. Don't even go there. Well, explain this to me. There's a whole lot I can't explain. I don't need to. The theme of this message is what? Only disbelief. Apparently. There are people that spend more time telling you what isn't real than what is real. Why would I want to come to church every Sunday and point out counterfeit $2 bills? Why not spend time telling you what a true $2 bill looks like? And you'll recognize the false one because you know what the true one looks like. This is a faith walk. It's not a reasoning walk. You start going out on the limb of reasoning, you're in trouble. Well, how do we know that Brother Branham was out there when this cloud came down and then he was picked up? How do we know that? Because he said so. Well, all we have is one man's word. Okay. How do we know that there was an Adam and Eve? Because Moses said so. All we have is one man's word. Was Moses there? At least Brother Branham was there. How do we know that there was a bush that burned but wasn't consumed, and a voice spoke out of that bush and told Moses, here's what, take this stick and go over and conquer Egypt. How do we know? Because Moses said so. And it was vindicated. It's amazing. People will point to the sign and criticize the sign, right? But the sign is pointing you to something. The whole point of the sign is to point you to something, right? And once you've arrived at the thing that it was pointing you to, you don't need the sign anymore. The sign has served its purpose. So why would we want to debate the sign? If I was traveling to Nogales, if I was traveling to Lordsburg, and I got on I-10, there'd be a sign that would say Lordsburg, 100 miles or whatever it is. And then later on, maybe there'd be another sign, Lordsburg 60 miles, Lordsburg 20 miles. Let's say that I follow those signs and I end up in Lordsburg, and now I've been there 50 years. And then somebody comes and said, you know what, that sign was wrong. I'm going to look at him and say, you're stupid. Hello, I'm here, aren't I? Brother Branham said that cloud came down and picked him up and showed him things that were not his own thoughts. And then he was told to go east and the book would come open. What happened? He went east, the book came open. And those that are criticizing the sign, they're smart enough to not criticize the opening of the word. They don't have a leg to stand on. So they pick on the only thing that they can, and they're picking on the sign. But guess what? Too late. Well, what about the cloud? What about the opening of the word?
Amen.
It's vindicated. These men, friends, they didn't draw the congregation to their thinking by faith. It was pure reasoning. And that's why you want to stay away from vain disputations. We got people rising up now that there's another disbelieve the signer. I mean, these people are more faithful speaking against something than they ever were speaking for it. They spend more of their time criticizing, trying to find fault, than they ever did trying to. And what do they have to offer you? Just debating, reasoning, doubts. From such, turn away. Just ask them, where's your vindication? Show me where God has vindicated that you're right. Oh, and what is your message? There's a blood moon coming May 15th, and it's going to be the Feast of the Tabernacles, and the rapture is going to occur. Okay, that came and went. Next. What? How come they're never called on that? They come up with all kinds of nonsense. Where are they leading you to? Are they providing a way of escape for you? You're going to escape this world through lust? A entrance is being ministered unto you, as Peter said in 2 Peter. What entrance are they? They're preaching something that's going to keep you here on the earth. So that when the gate closes, you'll find out, wow, I was wrong. Brother Bram said that. He said, Satan's going to lull everybody in, and they're going to think, this is all good. And he says, then he'll close the gate, and then they'll find out they've been deceived. He said that there are speaking about the blood that was spilled during the Dark Ages and, you know, the 68 million that the Catholic Church admits to slaying because they stayed with the Word instead of staying with the Church. And that's just what they admit to. I mean, how many more than the 68 million? Murderous spirit. Right? Doing it in the name of the Lord. Brother Branham said that spirit didn't go away. He said there's just a couple of laws on the books that need to be changed. He said then you'll see that blood running through the streets again. I don't plan on being here. I'm going to continue on this Exodus. Under my messenger. So Moses said, shall one ringleader do all of this damage and you're going to kill the whole church? Christ, Moses, Aaron, the prophet and their ministry are praying. It's Christ in Moses, I meant to say. Christ in Aaron, standing in the gap, praying. Verse 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. So God tells the prophet and the ministry to tell the whole congregation, separate yourselves from these three men. Mark them. God's word calls for a total separation from unbelief. Christ says to the ministry, speak to those that will repent and will pull away from this reasoning and unbelief. And so Moses and the ministry speak in one accord, and they stand up and they cry out, church, separate yourself from this mess. Separate yourself from this unbelief. These three that had risen up, they are eternally separated now. They've crossed the line. But they're telling them, look, these guys crossed the line, but it's time for you to get back in line. It's time for you to stay in line. Get your eyes off of those that are going off in error. Remember, Brother Branham, in that vision, he saw he saw the Laodicean bride coming forth, the early Pentecostal bride, and she was naked except for a little fig leaf, I guess, and gyrating and dancing, looked like a witch. And Brother Branham hung his head and he said, I'm ashamed of myself, Lord. And after all all the preaching and everything that I've done, and this is what I have to present, I'm ashamed of myself, I'm sorry. And then he said, a little bit while later, he heard a sound coming, and up over the hill came a group that was just like the first group, that was righteous and dressed in white and was in order and was marching along, and each one in their position. And he said right there towards the end, he saw some that were starting to go off. And in the telling of this, he says it a couple of different ways. In one place, he said, he yelled out to him, look to me. Of course, he's saying, look to the message, right? And he said, stay in line, right? And he said, in another place, he said, what caused them to start to go off? He said, what caused them to start to go off is that they were looking at others that were going off. Friends, if we look out at the darkness, there's never been a more deceitful time. There's never been a darker hour than the hour that we're living in. And if you choose to focus on that, I get why your woe is me and everybody feels sorry for me and it's hopeless and it'll never work. I get it. But that's because you're looking into the darkness. Any light that was ever in that darkness is being squeezed out. But turn around, allow your heart to be turned and look to the light. It's never been brighter. There's never been a day like this day. It depends on what you're looking at. Get your eyes off of those that are going off in error. We recognize the wrong. We recognize the evil. But don't make that your ministry. Don't make that your focus. That's why we don't want to get all caught up in politics. We get so indignant. Oh, I can't believe it. The government lied to me. I can't believe this happened and that happened. Well, let's see. You're in Satan's Eden. It's seven times hotter. We've got all the demons that everybody had to contend with, plus 200,000 demons, religious demons, that were released from the river Euphrates. And we're in Satan's Eden, and you can't believe it, that things are corrupt in Satan's Eden. What are you looking at? But you're not walking alone in Satan's Eden. If you were, I get it. I get why you're fearful. I get why you're afraid of the dark. But friends, we're not walking in darkness any longer. We're children of the light. Our fear of darkness is gone. Moses says, separate yourselves. Come out. Be not partakers of their sin. Be not partakers of their destruction. Now, friends, realize, before you get indignant, you want to just condemn everybody. All of us were on the wrong side at one point. All of us were given the opportunity to repent. Otherwise, we're all like others, as Paul said. But God, who's rich in mercy. So Korah is from the tribe of Levi. And the other two were from the tribe of Reuben. Korah is from the ministry tribe. But he defies the word by moving over among the Reubenites, who now think that they're Levites too. Well, why don't they just go over to Levites? Because they weren't fitting in there, obviously. So it's one that's from the Levites moving out of his position and then enlisting Reubenites in his cause. So this rebellion had to move outside of the God-called ministry in order to spread. It won't spread in the God-called ministry. But it does start with a minister, just as it started with the covering angel that was overshadowing the word. So this Levite says, I'll live wherever I want to. Numbers 6:1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab and On, the sons of Peleth, the sons of Reuben, they took men. So we notice that Brother On, or On, moves off. But we will find that he gets back on when the judgment falls later on. And he recognizes that this splinter move is of the devil. And he doesn't want to perish with the others. Verse 25. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all of their sins. You know, you're not to fellowship with unbelief. It doesn't mean be nasty. It doesn't mean be rude. Right? But, you know, how do you treat somebody at the cash register? How do you treat somebody at the bank or what have you? You're polite. You talk about the weather. You don't talk about spiritual issues. You do what you got to do and you move on. But you're not having inner circle fellowship. Two can't walk together except they be agreed. And you don't hate the people. So the messenger calls for the people to separate themselves, but they aren't seeing any signs of judgment yet. You know, that's what's going on right now. We're in a time when it seems like people are getting away with stuff. But it was the same way in the days of Noah. It looked like they were getting away with it for 120 years until one day. Same thing in the days of Sodom. So they're not seeing any signs of judgment yet. Well, of course not. There's grace before judgment. They have to listen to the message and accept what the message is telling them. Verse 27. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. So these three are having a tent meeting, and their fellowship is around disbelieve the sign. Same spirit. These men cannot come under authority. And friends, we will always be told what to do. So if you don't like being told what to do, don't go to heaven or hell. And don't stay here either, because you're always going to be told what to do. We're all taking orders. We don't choose our number of days here on the earth. We don't choose our position. We don't choose our place in the new heavens. We don't choose what our container looks like. Even our experiences are predestinated. So is our understanding. But sin has hardened these men's hearts. Korah wants to liberate the women. But the truth is the only thing that can liberate us. And it is liberating us. Verse 28. And Moses said, "Hereby you shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works." Well, they should have known it already. "For I have not done them of my own mind." This prophet says, God has sent me to do all these works. And we only have the prophet's word for it. There's no scientific proof. Where was Life magazine in the Garden of Eden? Where was Life magazine when the bush burned that Moses turned to look to? All they have is a vindicated life. And a vindicated word of the Lord. That's all we need. So Korah questioned the credibility of Moses, the credibility of Aaron, which, friends, that's all they could question. Question the sign. Question, was there a bridge and did this fall and whatever? And, well, I didn't find any evidence. Just because you didn't find any evidence doesn't mean it didn't happen. Amen. It means you're not a good enough detective. Oh, I couldn't find it. Well, did you look? Where did you look? That's like, I've told this story many times, but it just come to my mind. My sister would always lose her shoes. And she, you know, she would take them off. And what I'm talking about when we were little kids, and she'd take them off. And now it's time to go somewhere. And it's, well, you know, go get your shoes and go find your jackets or whatever. You know, we're going to go. Well, Kim, where's her shoes? Right? There'd be an Easter egg hunt. Leave no rock unturned. I learned at a very early age, don't look in the obvious places. In fact, don't presuppose, well, it couldn't be there, so I won't look. Well, that's why you can't find it. Because it's going to be somewhere where you don't expect it to be. Right? After a while, I got pretty good at finding my sister's shoes. And you say, well, why did you find it? Because we're not going anywhere until Kim has her shoes. Right? Now, what if I said her shoes don't exist? Well, how can you say that? Because I couldn't find them. We're just not a very good looker. Just because you can't find it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. So So they begin to question Moses and Aaron, which is all they could question. But the prophet says, you know what? These aren't my ideas. These are God's ideas. And he says, and God is going to vindicate this once again by annihilating those that stand against Moses and the message. But friends, it'll be too late at that time for those that stand against it. And this pattern will repeat. So the vindication this time will be the destruction of those that have tasted of the good things of God. There will not be another sign given to convince anybody of the authenticity of this Exodus message before they cross over. But what will be shown is the destruction of those that rise up and stand against it from within. And it's sad. So Moses is being called carnal. And Moses is being accused of not doing these things according to the word of the Lord, but after his own thinking. Verse 29. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. Here's your test. And this one event will tell the story. If they die of natural causes, then I'm a false prophet, he said. False prophets can do many things, friends, but they cannot control, give, or take life. Only God can give or take life. And only God can declare how it can be. Verse 30. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open up her mouth, and swallow them up, with all that pertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. Well, it should be a wake-up call, right? I've only experienced personally a couple of large earthquakes when we were living out in California. And I'll tell you, friends, you have thoughts about earthquakes and but when you experience a significant one, it shakes you up. I don't care what ideas you have. I don't care how Holy Ghost filled you are. You begin to realize, you know what? I've always took it for granted that the earth isn't going to move under my feet. And then when the earth starts moving, you realize, you know what? I can't be sure of that even. When the foundation under you moves. So Moses is waiting on God, and he has a vision, and he sees the earth open up her mouth. And the earth swallows up these backslid followers of the move of God who now blaspheme God. Friends, that's a type of the world swallowing those that disbelieve the sign and stand against it. You know, you'd just be better off. Don't go away mad. Just go away.
Yes.
You know, bless yourself by following something that you believe. But leave us alone. You don't like this? Go find something that you do like. I'll rent the van for you. Thomas and I will come and help you move. Now, friends, what I want you to recognize this morning, we'll pull over here in just a minute, these men didn't upset the messenger, but they make God angry. This is God's work. This is God's move. This is his story. So unbelief is being judged. Unbelief is being separated from faith in God. The lid to the bottomless pit is opened. And these men are going to go down into the bottom of the pit in type. You know, it's interesting that Apollyon, Lucifer, is the one who's given the key in Revelation chapter 9, and he opens up the pit, and we see all these demons coming forth. Recall that Revelation chapter 9 says, I saw a mighty angel fall. And that's Apollyon, Lucifer, right? He's been given the key to the pit. Chapter 9 concludes, chapter 10 starts with, I saw another mighty angel. Amen. This one's not falling, he descends. Numbers 16, verse 31. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. Friends, the only safety is in Christ. And if you choose to come out from under the protection of the word, the world will get you. So an earthquake swallows up them, their houses, their goods. Numbers 26, verse 9. And the sons of Eliab, Nemuel, and Dathan, and Abiram, that is that Dathan and Abiram, which were famous in the congregation, who strove against Moses and against Aaron and the company of Korah when they strove against the Lord. So they weren't striving. Sure, they're facing God's ministry, but they're really striving against God. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah. When that company died, what time the fire devoured 250 men, and they became a sign. There's your sign. I'm pretty sure they believed that sign. But it was too late. When the ark closed, that was their sign in Noah's day. Right? Actually, Noah was their sign, which they disbelieved. But when the door closed, that was their sign. Notwithstanding, the children of Korah died not. Isn't this something? It's amazing. So he had children that did not appertain to Korah. In other words, friends, we are in this world, but not of this world. We don't appertain to this earth. He had sons that did not perish with his unbelief. They separated from daddy, and they were saved. Listen to what David says in the psalm, Psalm 84, verse 1. To the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm for the sons of Korah. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Psalm 84, verse 10. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. That's the God we serve this morning, friends. Songs attributed to the sons of Korah. God who's rich in mercy. Numbers 16, 32. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit. And the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Friends, once people deliberately... Now, this is where I had trouble with this. The message just brings so much peace and the rest. It's the only thing that's balanced. It's the only way that you're going to understand the word. It's the light that's shining on the word, revealing it. I had trouble. Okay, I know that I've said some things that were foolish that I shouldn't have said. Did I cross the line? Did I sin away my day of grace? I agonized over that when the message came across my path. But you see, I'm not defending it in any way, shape, or form, but you can do something ignorantly, and there's still grace. But if you willfully, you know that it's right, and you choose to go against what you know is right, there's a line that you can cross. So once people they knowingly move beyond the protection of the word, there's no more protection for them. Now, it's not for us to, well, this one crossed the line, that one didn't, this one's right. Don't worry about that. Brother Brown said, while there's a breath in a man's body, I'll go after him. Right? Let them come as far as they can go. That's all in God's hands anyway. You didn't make yourself bride. You were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, if you are. So they move beyond the protection of the word, of their message, and now there's no more protection for them. They thought that the word that they were under was bondage. It's not bondage. It's protection. Amen. Oh, it's meant to constrain me. Well, it might constrain your flesh. That's a good thing. So the earth swallows them up, and they no longer know right or wrong, because the world swallows them up. That would be the type for our day. Isn't it amazing? You think, wait a minute, you were the biggest legalist in our church. You wouldn't, there was no grace. If some young teenager did this or that, you just wanted to tar and feather them. And now you have no conscience of it? Now you're looking for an out. Now you can't see what's right and what's wrong. It's sad, friends. It's tragic. You don't wish that on anybody. But it just shows you how much the word does for you, and how much it means to you, and how it is keeping you, and how it is setting you free, and how it is giving you peace and rest. Comfort. But you leave that, and it's confusion and fear, doubts. What are you going to go to? You know, I keep asking this question. If somebody has an answer, come tell me. I've been asking it for years. What are they going to that's better than what we have? That's vindicated. My experience is the opposite, as it probably is for many of you. I spent 22 years in denomination, knowing that we were missing the truth, knowing that, but not knowing where to find it. And knowing what it's like to be afraid of the dark, afraid of world events, afraid of this and afraid of that, nuclear destruction, what have you. So once I was brought into the light, I never want to go back to that. There never was anything there that kept me or helped me. I have no desire. There's nothing there. Where would you go? So I ask, where are people going? Well, one man leaves and he starts hugging the sisters. Well, and he feels so free. Why? He wanted to do that all along. I don't want to do that. It's not bondage. for me to not be able to hug you, sisters? It's not bondage. One wife is enough for me. Proverbs 14:9. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Numbers 16:34. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them. For they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. So they heard the sounds, and they heard the terror in their voices. Friends, those that are boldly, blatantly, brassy, standing against this, that will not always be their testimony. There will be weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth, crying out, terror. So they heard these sounds as these men fell, perishing, swallowed up by the world, if you will. And it put fear in their hearts to flee from this, to not even get close to it. Verse 35, and there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. You want to play with fire? All right, here's the fire. How's your fire suit working out? These men were punished by fire for coming in and handling fire. God showed clearly that it wasn't a flesh and blood battle. They challenged God, not Moses. Verse 41. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, you've killed the people of the Lord. The very next day. These people didn't have a new birth. New birth wasn't given. And we're on a roller coaster until the new birth, friends. I mean, Peter was on a roller coaster. There ain't no way I'm going to deny you. Oh, yeah, you won't just deny me once. You'll deny me three times before the cock crows. But thank God that the old nature of the heart is annihilated at the new birth. We're called to separate from unbelief, friends, and to unite ourselves unto the Word. And that means His will must be given the preeminence over our own will. And God's Word separates us from our own will. When we unite with the Word and give it preeminence, His will is being done. His Word cuts. His Word separates. His Word divides. His Word disconnects you. It sets you free. And at the same time it heals you, it unites us to the Word. We're called to separate ourselves unto the Word. Let's stand. Friends, in this last hour, this last age, the Scripture said the Son of Man... Jesus said, the Son of Man hath no place to lay his head. Well, he has a body on the earth this morning. And it was shown to us when the cloud came down. It was foreshadowed to us. The head was coming down to find a body here on the earth. Amen. A body that the head could unite with. And Brother Branham said that they would be so close that the two would come together and unite in a union. Christ would have the preeminence in a body. Christ the Word. But in order to unite with the Word, we have to be separated from unbelief. We recognize that the promise that was promised to Abraham and Sarah didn't take place until Abraham made the final separation, which was just... And he said to Lot, separate yourself. He had to make that final separation. Now, friends, nobody wants that. And it actually, The word will bring the separation.
Yes.
We don't want anybody to separate. Unless they're just staying fighting it, you know. Okay, separate. Go find something you like. Don't waste your time. We don't want them to miss it. But the word brings the separation. And the only way we can unite. So Abraham and Sarah, the promise didn't come until that last separation took place. And then we find Abraham standing in the gap for Lot. So we see the Spirit of Christ once again. And if His Spirit is in us, we'll be about our Father's business. Amen. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We'll be finishing this great commission. This gospel must be preached into all the world, and then shall the end come. This gospel, the very same one that was there in the beginning, must be here in the end. And it is. Amen. Separate yourself unto the word. Let's bow our heads. Father, we're so thankful for the grace and mercy that's been extended to each and every one of us, Lord. It's not anything, it's unmerited. There's none of us that earned this. There's none of us that can raise our hand and say, well, I was pretty good, and so you decided to, you chose me. Lord, in spite of all that we've done, in spite of what we once were, you died for us. You paid the price. You made a way that we would not perish with unbelief. You made a way for us to separate or to be separated completely from unbelief. And Lord, if your word hadn't been brought in this age, in this hour, we'd still be ignorant. Ignorant to portions of your word as we were throughout the ages. But now the head has come to unite with the body. The head gives the orders. The body packs it out. The body now has your word and knows what you want done with it. The body now can discern the two spirits working within the framework of the church. And the body now is withstanding that Antichrist spirit. And we believe that, as your prophet declared, Satan will be absolutely thwarted. And we know that he's madder than a hornet right now, because there's a people on the face of the earth that are walking through his Eden and whose garments are not getting soiled. Lord, we saw a woman deceived in the garden. We saw a woman deceived in the early church. But we were told that this last Eve will not fall, will not be deceived. And Lord, we see the difference in this case. The fullness of Christ in a body. If your word is in the body, how can we be deceived? The word cannot be deceived. Eve was taken out of Adam's side. And as long as Eve was in Adam's presence, she was safe. She got separated from her husband, and she was deceived. But Lord, you said, I will come. I will be with you and even in you until the ends of the world. I won't leave you alone. I won't leave you comfortless. I will be your guide. I will be the truth. I will be the way. I will keep you. I thank you, Father. All that you've given me are going to come. I won't lose a single one. Lord, we're counting on that this morning. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Father, thank you for this glorious life, this glorious walk, this opportunity to serve you, Lord, to to be a reflection here on the earth of what is of the invisible God becoming visible in flesh once again. Father, if that intercessory spirit is not moving upon us, may we draw closer to you, Lord, because we know that if the Spirit of Christ is in us, you'll be seeking to save that which is lost. We know that we're in the very twilight hours, we're at the very closing moments of the final act in the Gentile dispensation. And we know that the last one's going to come in. And then those that are filthy will remain filthy. Those that are clean will remain clean. We know that there'll be no more mercy, no more grace. So Lord, while there's still time, we want to work until you come. We want to be faithful. We want to be ready to give an account of the hope of glory that's within us. We want to be quick to testify of you. Help us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for being the devil's newspaper sometimes and just going through the first, second, and third pole of how evil things are. Well, Lord, if that those things were prophesied to be taking place in this day, the things that Paul spoke about, how people would be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of self, without natural affection, truce breakers, and so on and so forth. We see these things taking place. That's all negative. So, Lord, without any effort on the part of the people that are fulfilling that, these things are coming to pass. What about the positive prophecy? What about those that have made themselves ready? What about those that it's been granted for them to be arrayed in pure linen, pure and white, which is the righteousness of the saints? What about those that have been given eye salve and they've been counseled to anoint their eyes with eye salve that they could see? What about those that aren't being overcome, but your word is overcoming in their lives? What about the positive? Let this be our confession, Lord. Let this be our focus. Let this be what we talk about when we fellowship with one another. Instead of when we're asked, how's your day? Instead of saying, well, this and that and the other. Lord, may we testify of the goodness. There's so much more positive and good. Another day that the Lord kept me. Another day in health. Another day where he's provided. Another day where he's kept me. He's led me. Guided me. He's been my friend. He's kept me sane. Kept my family. Kept your word. There's so much, Lord, that we could testify of. And Lord, we pray for those that are fighting against themselves and trying to lead others to astray, trying to lead others away from this. We know that every revival produces twins, and then we know that there were three kinds of believers in every Exodus. We're not immune to it in this age, in this hour. Somebody's going to fulfill those parts. We don't wish it upon anybody. Lord, may we be on our knees. Allow your Spirit to intercede, Lord, on behalf of others. Save all those that can be saved, Lord. Fill all those that can be filled. Let them come as far as they can come, Lord. Won't you grant it this morning? Father, I pray that you move upon each and every heart. Father, we're so thankful for the gift of repentance. We're so thankful for the Holy Spirit. We know that there's going to be a time that the Holy Spirit is lifted off the earth and there'll be no conviction. It's your Spirit that's bringing conviction in our lives now and keeps us in check and keeps us on the straight and narrow, causes us to repent. And when we do something, it just kills us until we make it right. And we want to hasten to do that. But we know that there's a time coming where someone will look into a car and see a wallet and they'll just take it. There'll be nothing in their mind that says, well, that isn't right, or we shouldn't do that. Whatever enters into their minds, they'll just do it. I'm thankful for conviction this morning. I'm thankful, Lord, that if you didn't show us what was wrong, we couldn't get right. We couldn't repent. except you show us right and wrong and truth and error. May we not take that for granted, Lord. And may we not go a long period of time without responding to that. May we take full advantage, Lord, of the opportunity to walk with you and to keep our garments clean, to by your grace, by the conviction that you bring in our lives. And may our hearts be for this, Lord, if there's, as Abraham said, if there's 50 or 40 or 30 or 20, and it came down to just family members, as it was in the days of Noah, may that be our cry, Lord. As we see the light being pushed out by the darkness, and we know that the curtain is about to close on this dispensation, may we be about your business, Lord. May we stay separated unto your word. Won't you grant it this morning, Lord? We love you. We thank you. We give you praise and honor and glory. How many would like to just lift your hand this morning and say, Lord, I want to have a burden, a genuine burden for the lost, a genuine burden for those that don't know your mercy, don't know your grace, don't know the forgiveness that's been purchased for them. Lord, use me to brighten the life of someone else. Use me to be a help. Use me to be an encouragement. Lord, it's what a nervous time. What a men's hearts failing for fear. What a tormenting time. People losing their minds. Nobody, the bottom falling out of everything. No foundation to these things. And people are fearful. And Lord, you've given us a rock. You've placed us upon a rock. Given us an anchor. And Lord, let us be quick to extend it to others. Certainly everyone will make their own choice, their own decision. But may we be faithful, Lord, to declare your goodness, your mercy, your grace, and to stay true to your word. Grant it this morning, Lord. We ask these things in the precious name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Desire this morning.